Well, good morning.
Good morning, and I'd like to thank you very much for the honor of speaking on Father's Day. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. And let's see, I would have you stand, but I don't want to embarrass you, so I'm going to just say happy Father's Day and leave it at that, right? Now, this is a pretty daunting task because parenting is... It's a pretty hot thing nowadays. We sort of throw around what makes a good dad. There's a lot of books that you can buy that identify what makes a good dad. There's talk shows. There is daytime television. There is all different kinds of people and suggestions on you are a good dad if. And you can fill in the blanks if you wanted to. So I just sort of start off and I throw that out to you. What makes a good dad? Are you a good dad if you pay for your kid's college tuition? I mean, if that's true, I guess I'm not going to be a good dad, right? Are you a good dad if it turns out that you buy your kid a smartphone? Because all the other kids have smartphones and your kid doesn't. And now I'm a good dad because I went ahead and I did that. So I think that for the most part, we spend an awful lot of energy trying to figure out if I do this behavior, then I'm good, right? But who ultimately is holding all of the cards? Who's determining that? Our schools spend an awful lot of money and energy in peer mediation, in character education, in conflict resolution. And yet with all these things, I don't know that our dads today are better dads than they were, you know, when we were kids. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I want to know, I want you to know that what makes a good dad is going to be found in God's Word. I think that that's fair. And I think that ultimately, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, God teaches us a great passage about what makes a good dad. So I would invite you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to try to understand this and unpackage this for you today. The truth is that in many ways, this is going to be a lot easier than you might think. It's not hard to understand this, but your expectation might be a lot higher than what the Bible says. And I just want to make sure that we're aligned with what the Bible says. And then ultimately try to pattern our life after it. Ephesians chapter 6, it doesn't really say a tremendous amount, but the Apostle Paul is talking about the family. He's talking about the family in Ephesians 6, and he has something for dads in verse 4. So it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a great verse for Father's Day, right? Everybody should make their Father's Day card and just claim that as a favorite verse. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Verse 4 is the key one here. And you fathers, okay, the Apostle Paul is going to talk, but he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I remember growing up, and I had the chance to learn this verse. The word wasn't provoked. Does anybody know what the word was? It was the word exasperate. Fathers, do not exasperate. Well, that was fine. And so when it came to memorizing the verse, I would memorize the verse, but I really never knew what exasperate meant. The truth is, I didn't really know what exasperate meant, except for a few weeks ago also. I thought it would be a great word, though. And Scott and I were talking in between. This would be a great word to write as your speculative prompt on your one of these standardized tests, because nobody really uses that word, exasperate. That must mean something. What does it mean? The Apostle Paul says to dads something that they should not do and something that they should do. Now, what as a dad should I not do? He says, I don't want you to exasperate your children. Provoke your children. The Apostle Paul says, do not greatly irritate your children. Don't greatly upset your children. Don't frustrate your children. That's what the word exasperate means. Now, I'm thinking back since I've been a dad, which has almost been 17 years, and I haven't heard my kids say, "Dad, you're greatly irritating me." They have said, "Dad, you are so annoying," but they haven't said, irritate. So maybe I'm going to get higher marks than I give myself credit for. And maybe as a dad, you are too today. Paul says, don't exasperate your children. Our kids are moral beings. Don't exasperate them. Okay. So if we were going to start off a list, how not to exasperate our children, and we had a whiteboard, and I was just going to sort of brainstorm this, what would we write up on this list? How not to exasperate or to greatly frustrate or irritate or upset our children. What would be on that list? What are some of the hot buttons? Well, I think that our kids get exasperated when they see injustice, even from small children. Our kids are moral beings and they understand fairness. And it's not so uncommon that you can hear a child, maybe your child, say, "Hey, Dad, that's not fair. That's not fair. The punishment that you're giving me does not exactly match up with the behavior that I have demonstrated, Dad. That's not fair. Dad, you ultimately are punishing out of being impulsive. Dad, you are ultimately punishing out of unkindness or some form of revenge." Now, there's some truth to that. And I would say as dads, there are times that we tend to overreact. I overreact. Most of the times that I discipline, it comes out of emotion. That's it. But all I did was, no, that's really not all you did. This thing was started from hours ago and it's built up to this, and now I have really had it. We can exasperate our kids if they can see some injustice in the way that we are going to punish and the way that we are going to discipline. You know, praise the Lord that in the book of Hebrews we're told that we have a heavenly Father who disciplines. Discipline's an important thing. God disciplines me because He wants me to grow. God disciplines me ultimately because He wants me to change. But God never disciplines because He's impulsive. My heavenly Father never disciplines me because of the fact that He is unkind. He's perfectly kind. And as an earthly dad, I need to make sure that I don't exasperate my kids using injustice. I don't want to exasperate my kids with inconsistency. You know, there's a gap between dad's mouth and dad's life. And there's a time that the kids are going to run upstairs and they're going to close their door and she's going to say, "You know something, I never want to be like dad." And sure, Mr. Jones down the street, she thinks dad's wonderful, but she doesn't know dad. She doesn't really know who dad is. Dad's really not very wonderful because dad's inconsistent. Now, dad's not perfect. You can ask your spouses, right? That's supposed to be the joke here. Dad's not perfect. But when dad makes the mistake, right, dad says, "Look, in our house, there's got to be no profanity. Right? There's enough of that in the world. When we come in here, there's going to be no profanity." What happens when dad uses the profanity? Right? Then dad's got to come up and say, "Listen, dad was wrong." We want to make sure that we don't exasperate our kids through inconsistency. I want to make sure that we don't exasperate our kids through favoritism. That will exasperate our children. When we say, "Look, why can't you just be like your brother? I mean, just for once, just one time, could you just be like him? Why can't you just be like your sister in school? Why can't you just play this musical instrument like your brother?" That's today. Do you play favorites with your kids? Do you love one of your children more because he or she can do something and that sort of makes you feel better about you? There's a danger. Now, I'm being a little vulnerable, but there's a danger for me. You see, I want my sons to be just like me. well, actually, I want my sons to be the guy that I wish I could be. Do you see that? I want my sons to be the student that I wish that I was. I want my sons to be the athletes that I wish that I was. I want my sons to have the charm that I wish that I had. But my sons aren't me. God didn't knit my sons together in my wife's womb so they could just be like me. And they would say, and thank God for that, Dad, right? Sure. See how wrong that is? My sons, your children, are themselves. Now they're going to pick their own occupations. They're going to pick their own careers. They're going to make their own choices. Now obviously it's all under the umbrella of God's liberty, right? It's under the umbrella of God's liberty. And I want my boys to grow to know the Lord and to love the Lord. But the choices that they make are going to be their choices. And just because I don't necessarily agree with that isn't a bad thing, right? So if my kids decide they're going to go out and spend $200 on designer jeans, look, I would never do that. But if they opt to do that, then I got to respect the fact that they're individuals. And under the liberty of God's umbrella, they're going to spend their money the way that they feel that is best before the Lord. Now, I guess a little bit of an unspoken rule is that in our home, as long as they live in my home, then there's going to be the respect of the way that mom and dad feel that they should be brought up. So in our home, we're not going to go for like the tattoos or the earrings, and we're not going to go for the $200 designer jeans, and that's true. But when they leave me, and they opt off on their own, and they make their own choices for career, their own choice for church, they make their own choice under the liberty of what God has declared, I gotta welcome that. I gotta be ready for that. And I want to ultimately make sure that I am not going to exasperate them while they're getting to that particular point. I remember when my son was learning how to ride a bicycle. And when he learned how to ride a bicycle, we got the helmet. And for us, it was across the street from our house. There's a little park and there's a little parking lot, and we sort of did the bicycle thing, and I sort of ran up and down, and I held on to the saddle, and we ran up and down, and you know, we be careful to get this, and we almost got that, and we ran up and down, and I lost some weight running up and down, right? But finally we learned how to do the bicycle. It would be pretty ridiculous, because he's almost 17, if in that park across the street where some people walk their dogs and kids play catch, if they saw me, a dad, still running up and down, holding on to the saddle of my son's bicycle, right, that would look pretty ridiculous. You'd say, it's time to let go of the saddle. But I dare say that there's a decent amount of dads who don't trust their kids or don't allow their kids to be different. And so as a result of that, they disguise holding on to the bicycle saddle as parenting. And there's a danger in that. Your kids are not you. Your kids were created to love the Lord and to walk with the Lord. But the choices that they make are not going to be your choices. And that's okay. God made it like that. We don't want to exasperate our kids through perfectionism. There's a danger in that too. We expect our kids to be perfect, and nothing is ever good enough, that it's always the next game, and it's always the next lap, and it's always the next A, and it's always the next triple whatever, right? And it's never quite ever good enough. You can exasperate your kids doing that. And the achievements that they have, if they're struggling in algebra and they're struggling to get a C+, and we sort of belittle those achievements, that's nothing but frustrating to them. We can exasperate our kids through the avenue of perfectionism. And if you lean that way, If you're like a perfectionist, that's sort of how you, you know, keep your closets. You got to understand and acknowledge the fact that you can exasperate your kid if it turns out that you put upon them the spirit of perfectionism. We need to love our kids for who they are. I need to love my kids for who they are, not for what they will become. I need to love them today for who they are, not for who they will become. I need to love them for who they are, not for who they ought to be. God has entrusted me with three kids, and praise the Lord for that. God has entrusted you with kids, grandkids. God has entrusted you with that. And I would say, for the most part, when it comes to where my kids stack up as far as money, they're more important than my money. And career, they're more important than my career. And leisure time, well, they pretty much have all of that, I guess, anyway, right? They're more important than my leisure time. My kids are eternal. And God has entrusted them to me. God has entrusted children to you for a period of time. And God has said, and the Apostle Paul has said here, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't exasperate your children. Now that's a short list, right? And I'm sure there's many other things that you could put or that I could put on that list, that we could exasperate our children or provoke our children or greatly irritate our children with. What would that be for you? God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, so what should I do? So the Apostle Paul says, but rather, right, bring them up. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I want you to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, maybe we'll hold our spot here in Ephesians for a moment, but turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11 for a moment. The goal today is not to be hard on dads, right? We're not coming down hard on dads. I want to encourage dads. And I want you to know that the fact that you have children means that God believes in you. And the fact that you have children means that God is counting on you. And that God is for you, right? He's for you. And he's for your family. And he's for your kids. And there's a lot of times that I see really, really good dads that I conference with, and the dads want the very best for their kids as far as education is concerned. And they come in and, you know, dads are going to rearrange their schedules and the flights. They're going to rearrange their schedules so that they can come in to the poetry activity. And their daughter is going to come up and she's going to recite a poem. The whole poem is going to be about 30 seconds in length. This dad is going to change his whole day so that he can be in the classroom just to hear these 30 seconds. But he's trying. He means well. He wants the best. He takes time off. He's in the conference. What do I need to do? I go to all of the games. I've got these extra tutors. I'm invested. I see all of that. I'm a taxi cab driver. I'll drive her to whatever she needs to go to. I don't want to fail here. I failed in other areas. I don't want to fail with my kids. I want them to have a good chance at this. See that? Oh. But when it comes to spiritual things, don't forget that. Because you could teach your son how to swing a bat. And you could drive him around to the swimming events. But don't forget the spiritual side. See, a really wonderful man, the Lord Jesus himself said, well, what a profit a man if he gains all of the world. And if I sat back because my son gained all of the world, that's my son, how proud would I be? Well, what a profit a man if he gained all of the world, but he lost his own soul. The spiritual clout is more important. It's more important than driving the taxi around. It's more important than the swim meets. It's more important than the back-to-school nights. It's more important than all those fairs. It's more important than all those birthday parties. It's more important. Those things are important. And playing with my boys and girls and enjoying them as they grow up, immensely important, right? I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that during those conferences, Dad, the part that you're missing is the spiritual part. What does God say about the spiritual part? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, And verse 19, Moses is going to give this instruction to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19, he says, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to them, then the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you." See, God's precious nation of Israel, God's blue-eyed boy, as it were, was this nation of Israel. He didn't pick Israel because they were the fastest or the most intelligent. He didn't pick Israel because they were like... He picked Israel because they were the least. And he wanted to show how great he was by raising them up in spite of all of their inefficiencies. And God had this nation, and he wanted very much for them to obey him. And so he instructed the fathers. He said, "I want you to teach your children. I want you to teach your children. And I want you to pass this along, and I will bless you." So he says in verse number 19, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and you when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So let me ask you this. Do you talk about the Lord with your kids when you're walking to the post office? Maybe in the morning? Do you talk to your kids before you tuck them in? Do you ever sing with them? Do you ever ask them to consider the claims of the Lord Jesus? Do you talk to them about the hash of things that Jonah got himself into, or the troubles that King David had? Do you have the opportunity to go through a couple of the verses with them? Now, I grew up in a Christian home. And I grew up where the Bible was honored. It really was. And, you know, my dad didn't come to my games. It didn't make him a bad parent. He was busy. He was formulating oils. He did pay for my college degree. So I guess if that's the mark, then right, he gets good marks for that. In my house growing up, we didn't have this Bible time where we were going to sit after dinner from 6:30 to 7:45, and it was going to be Dad lecturing us on what the Bible has to say. That really would have turned me off. As a child, there were plenty of times when it was time for church and I would hide. I wasn't really interested in going to church. I wasn't really interested. But there were a lot of casual talks that my dad and I had when I drove him to the airport. We'd talk about the Bible. We talked about the Yankees too. But we talked about the Bible. There were a lot of times when we had the opportunity just working around the backyard. Yeah, we talk about what needs to be fertilized and how to chlorinate the swimming pool, but we'd also talk about the Bible. It sort of was who he was, who he is, that he would spend his time in the Bible, and it just sort of resonated. And so things went through a filter in his mind to determine whether or not we were going to move in this direction or that direction. It wasn't this big formal study, but the Bible was part of my childhood. The only like heavy instruction I got was on Sunday mornings. And some of that, quite frankly, was kind of unpalatable. It was hard. And I ran from it. Moses says, "Listen, when you wake up and when you lie down and when you walk by the way, do you talk about the things of the Lord? Do you consider the claims of the Lord? Do your kids know that that's important to you?" And the next thing he says is this. He says, "Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, what does that mean? I mean, if you come to my house, 2211 Evergreen Avenue, on my front wall here, I do not have like this big Bible verse that's plastered on my gate here. It would be a little odd. People driving by, who's this guy? You know, I mean, what exactly is this? I don't have that. But if you came to my house without me even saying anything, would you know that I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus or trying to be one? Now, I don't really have pictures and paintings of a cross. I don't have pictures and paintings of the Good Shepherd. But I would say that there is a Bible almost in every room of my house. And I would say that the music that is listened to in my house is the Christian music. And I would say that in my house there's Christian books. And it wouldn't be too terribly long to find out this person is serious about spiritual things. Moses says in verse number 20, write them on your doorposts. Make this a priority, Dad. You're so good at driving kids around. You're so good at signing kids up. Make this a priority. You know, daycare is really an important thing. It's big, big business. It's really important to all of us. We want to make sure our kids are in the very best place that we can be. Preschool is just as important, right? And I remember I went down to the Presbyterian Church in Scotch Plains. I said, look, I really would like my son to be involved in this preschool. Okay, very good. Well, you're not a member of this church? No, I'm not. Okay, that's a whole different thing, but good. What exactly do I need to do here? So she said, well, you have to get here early on a Saturday morning. It was in January. It was definitely in the winter. You're going to have to get here early because there's only 7 spots. Okay, Saturday morning. How early is early? How's 8 o'clock? That's pretty early. And the woman said to me, she said, if you're not here by 3 o'clock in the morning, you won't get into the preschool. So I said, wait, let me just try to understand this. You're going to ask me to stand outside the Scotch Plains Presbyterian Church in the dark, in the winter time, at 3 o'clock in the morning, so that my son can get a spot in the 3-year-old class. Yes, sir, that's what we're saying. Okay, I'll do it. And dads do that stuff. They're great at that. But as we're doing all of those things, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is don't miss the most important thing, Dad, which is the spiritual side. We're talking to our kids about the Lord Jesus. There's evidence in our homes that we're disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus. And ultimately, there's a modeled example that we have so that our kids can ultimately see. Now, there's almost so much time, right? And there's only so much energy, and I get that. I want you to know that parenting is a long-term project. It's a long-term project. It's not short-term. You can't go to a conference and in 24 hours fix your family. You can't go to this 24-hour special and straighten out all of the problems. It's a long-term thing. That's why sometimes when I read these Christmas letters and they boast about my child graduated from the kindergarten, I just sort of like downplay all of those things. Because parenting is a long haul, right? But it's all worth it. And parenting is really important as far as the Lord Himself is concerned. He loves families. And today I believe that families are under terrible attack. Because just as God wanted very much in the Old Testament, to move through the nation of Israel, to make them the leader and the model and the example, today I believe it's in the Christian home and in the church that God wants very much for our homes to be examples, so that regardless of whatever circumstances that our homes have to face, that God is going to elevate us in spite of the things that are going on, as an example and as a testimony for others, and to show His grace and His goodness to each one of us. When the family is under terrible attack, Satan wants very much to destroy our families. And if you step out of the crowd and you're going to stand and take a stand for the things of the Lord Jesus, then you're certainly going to come into harm's way as far as spiritual things are going to are concerned. God loves your family, and God is for your family, and He loves dads, and He's for dads. Maybe we could just take a look very quickly at Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is the final direction that Moses gives to the nation of Israel. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 45, these are the last things that Moses is going to say. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 45. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, "Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of the law, for it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life." Listen, dads, your kids are a high priority in God's eyes, and they're a high priority in your eyes. You'd do anything for them. I know that. I would too. I just want to make sure that the spiritual emphasis is aligned with where God is. God says to me, listen, don't greatly irritate, don't provoke, don't exasperate, but rather bring them up in the leading, in the admiration of the things of the Lord. And if you do that, right, I'm not going to promise that this side of eternity you're going to see all this fruit and you're going to see all this evidence. There's countless stories of good and godly parents who struggle and they sweat and they want so dearly for their kids to hold on to the claims of the Lord, and their kids don't. But if you do those things, then you're going to get high marks as far as a parent is concerned. And there's also countless stories of kids who many, many years later come back to the things of the Lord, long after their parents are gone. Come back to the things of the Lord and remember the verses and remember the stories and remember the opportunity of how important it was to my parents that we honor the Lord in the things that we did. It's tough. Parenting is a tough thing. But I would wish all the dads a really happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Let's close with a word of prayer. And Father, we thank you so much for your lovely son. We thank you for the model example that we have from your word. And we just pray that we would take this passage, that we would reflect on it, and that we would change because of it. Lord, you know our hearts. You know that we want dearly the very, very best for our kids. I just pray, Lord, that you would equip us and help us to be good dads. I pray that you would allow us not to frustrate our kids or to provoke our kids, but rather to train them and to live good and godly lives. For we pray these things in the Savior's name. Amen.